If you can, please turn in your Bible to that portion that Naomi read in John chapter 1. And with a few things I'm sure with you, the Lord has laid upon my heart. And there's no doubt about it, my nerves. I remember Dr. Paisley saying when he first got up to preach that he could have run out of the door. Well, I just feel that very way at this moment in time. But I know it's a great jump out of the pulpit to get to that back door. If we can, we want to look at that verse of John chapter 1 and 29. And it says, the next day, John seeing Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And with our Bibles open, let us seek the Lord in prayer. And while you're praying, ask the Lord that he would help us today to get through his message for the Saviour's sake. Our gracious and our heavenly Father, we once again give thee thanks for this thy day. Lord, how we thank thee that thou hast set this one day and seven aside. For Lord, we can lay down all the tools of our employment. And Lord, we can come aside into thy house and into thy presence and to worship thee in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank thee for thy word today. How we thank thee, Lord, that thy word is truth. And that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And Lord, we thank thee why we live in a changing world. Why we live in a modernist world. We thank you, Lord, that yesterday, today and forever, Jesus is the same. And oh God, we thank thee for the mighty cry of the gospel. That Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Lord, bless the young people that have sung today. Lord, bless their lives in employment and at school. Wherever they may be, Lord, shelter them beneath thy precious blood. That, Lord, thou will continue to take them up and to use them for thine honour and for thy glory. And out of this band of young people, Lord, may they become preachers of the gospel. May they become Sunday school teachers. Lord, even evangelists and, Lord, even missionaries. O God, have thine own way and may thy will be done as it is in heaven and earth. Now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, Lord, we need help, and we need help from the sanctuary. And though God, I ask thee that thou will endue this vessel with the power of the Spirit of God. But Lord, as I open the mouth, that thou will fill it with words that thou will give us. That every word that will be spoke will be thus, and thus saith the Lord. Hide this preacher now behind the cross, that we all may behold the Lamb of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. No doubt, I am sure, that this is a familiar text to everyone. There are familiar verses in the Bible that stick out and come out to all of our minds. I think of that verse of John of Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think of John 3 and 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And there are many other verses, and especially this verse that we have looked at today. No wonder, I'm sure over and over again, you have heard the preacher cry, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is a familiar text. And no doubt in many of our churches up and down and throughout our land, when you come through the door, this would be a text that would hit you the moment that you come through to behold the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I would like to share to you this morning five simple points about the Lamb of God. And here we have John the Baptist, who is a forerunner for the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this chapter, we're told that how John was questioned by many of the Pharisees and the priests. And they asked him, Who art thou? But John, he confessed, I am not the Christ. He went on to say that there standeth one among you, whom you knoweth not. He began to say that he it is who cometh after me, who is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not unworthy to unloosen. John, as we're told in that chapter, was to bear light of that light which would come into the world, who was Jesus Christ. And here we're told in verse 9 of this chapter, John seeing the Lord. And I think this is wonderful. As John sees the Lord, he cries out, Behold, the Lamb of God. This is he. This is he of whom I have been telling of. This is he who I have been sent to preach of. This is this light that God would send to be the Saviour of the world. And John stands in that crowd. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what I would say to you this morning is this. Look beyond the preacher. Look beyond the church this morning. And look further and look to the cross of Calvary. And behold, the Lamb of God. When you come to that word, behold, it means to look and to observe. And ladies and gentlemen, the first point that I would like to bring out about the Lamb is this. He is the Lamb that is provided. The Lamb provided. If you turn to Genesis chapter 22. And this is what a beautiful story of a father and a son. But it's also got a great picture of the cross and the finished work of Calvary. And God comes to Abraham and he says in verse 2, and he said, take now thine only son Isaac, in whom thou lovest. Oh, what effectual words. God knew that Abraham loved his son. How God had promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a child and from that seed that would come Israel. And God was going to bless them. But how God comes to Abraham and he says to Abraham now, take thy son, thine only son, in whom thou lovest, and offer him on an altar. When we come down, we find that how in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and cleaved the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And then we're told in verse 4, then on the third day, Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5 it says, and Abram said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. In verse 6, Abram took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac. Ladies and gentlemen, if you look in your reference, it will tell you John 19 and verse 17. And if you look that up, that is where the cross was laid upon our Savior. And it led it right into Golgotha itself. Here you have a wonderful picture of the cross and the finished work of Christ. But you know, the little lad, as they make their way to the place where God said to offer Isaac, here in verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abram and said, Father, isn't that wonderful? How a son respects his own dad by going, Father. And then he turns and says, my father. And he says, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Little Isaac knew what had to be taken place. He knew there had to be an altar erected. He knew there had to be a sacrifice and an offering upon that altar. But as he looked, he could see no offering. He could see no lamb. But you know, verse 8 is such beautiful words. Abram said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Isn't that wonderful? How Abram says, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And ladies and gentlemen, can I say to you this morning, God has made every provision for you. And all of that provision has been made at the cross of Calvary through the Lamb of God. You're maybe here today, and there's maybe trouble without. Maybe you're in need of something. But remember this verse. God is our great Jehovah Jireh. And He says the Lord will provide. Maybe there's trouble within and trouble without. Then take it to the Lord in prayer. And God will provide and help you out of the situation. Maybe you're here today, unsaved person, and the burden of your sin is weighing you down. You can feel the guilt of it. You can feel the very heat of the flames of hell around you. And you're wondering, how can I be saved? Where is my provision? It's all found in the Lamb of God. At the cross of Calvary, the Lamb that God has provided. But ladies and gentlemen, the second point about the Lamb is this. In 1 Peter, if we turn to 1 Peter into chapter 1, and we come down to that verse 19, and wonderful words, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ. a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, if we turn in the Gospel to Matthew, and we come through to Matthew chapter 27, and here Pontius Pilate is questioning the Lord. He's interviewing the Lord. And Pilate himself has given the Lord great interview in verses from verses 11. And then we come down to verse 19. And when he sat down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have nothing to do with this just man." And Pilate, if you go over to the Gospel in Luke, where in his account he comes and he says, "I find no fault in this man." He says, "I find no cause even for this man to be put to death." And as Pilate studied and listened to all that the Lord had to say, he had to come to that point and say, "I find no fault." Ladies and gentlemen, you can look at this preacher today and you can find 100 faults. You can look at this church today and you can find 100 faults. You can go to all the churches throughout Northern Ireland and you can surely find faults in every church. But I say to you this, look beyond the church. Look to the man of Calvary. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you would have to agree with Pilate, "I find no fault in this man. He is the Lamb that God has provided. He is the Lamb without blemish and without spot." Thirdly, in Exodus chapter 12, he is the lamb that was slain. The lamb slain on Calvary's cross. And here we have how God was going to punish the children of Egypt. How he was going to take the firstborn out of every family. And God said to Moses how he was to take a lamb. And we find it in verse 3. And it says there, a lamb. It says, "Speak unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to their fathers, a lamb for a house." And then he goes on to say in verse 5, "A lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year." And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the firstborn, and how he was a male, and he was without blemish, and he was without spot. And that lamb had to be taken in verse 6, and he says, "And ye shall kill it." The lamb had to be killed. And then in verse 7, the blood had to be applied to the stakes from the two sides of the post. I mean, you know what wonderful words we find and as we come down to verse 12 when God says, "And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt will I exhort judgment. I am the Lord, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house where ye are. And when I see the blood, I shall pass over thee." Ladies and gentlemen, that little lamb had to be taken. That lamb had to be killed. And that lamb's blood had to be applied upon the posts if them people were to escape the judgment and the wrath of God. And God sent His only begotten Son to be the Savior of the world. The lamb without blemish and without spot. His Son had to be taken into the hands of vile and evil men. And there he had to be beaten and buffered and nailed to a cross. And to shed his blood for hell guilty deserving sinners such as you and me. He became the lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross. The lamb that was provided. Your provision is all in Christ. He is a spotless one. He is the one without blemish and without spot. He is the one who was nailed to the cross and died in your room instead. What wonderful words. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I wonder, in this thought, if God's judgment, and let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, the wrath of God is soon going to be poured out upon this land. If the Lord was to return today or even now, would that be of you? That you could be able to say that I am under the blood. And when the wrath of God is poured out, you'll be able to say, the God will be able to say, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Ladies and gentlemen, the fourth thing about the Lamb is this. We've already looked at it in 1 John. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. Atonement had to be made, and Christ paid it in full. He paid your debt, the load, that your eye could never pay. And there upon the cross of Calvary, He shed His blood and paid the ransom for you and me. And all we have to do simply today is to come to the Lamb of God, the one who has promised to take away our sins, and there to bow at the foot of the old rugged cross in that repentance and asking the Lord to forgive us. And there He's promised to take away our sin. It doesn't matter how far you are in sin today. You may be the worst sinner, vilest sinner. You may be the one who is self-righteous in your own way. But God has promised, He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Oh, He made atonement for you. Can you see this? He's the Lamb that has been provided. He is the Lamb who is spotless and without blemish. He is the Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. My fifth and final point is this. If you turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, and it says, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the numbers of them were 10,000, 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which in heaven and on earth and under the earth and such that are in the sea and all that are in them heard I say, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever." Ladies and gentlemen, He is the Lamb that has risen, and He is the Lamb that is glorified. That's our Savior. Our Savior is not in a tomb today. Our Savior is not a God that fell down and never is again. But I thank God today that up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He's risen. You know, He lives, He lives. How do I know? Because He lives within my heart today. He has put a new song within my heart to sing praises unto the Lord, my God. These young people who have come and have trusted Christ, He has put a new song within their heart to sing praises unto the risen Lamb. And you know, even better than that, one day, when our earthly story will close, when we will take our flight from this scene of time, we will enter into the presence of a holy, mighty God. And there forever, we will be before the Lamb with Christ, which is far better. Ladies and gentlemen, He's the Lamb provided for you. He's the Lamb that is without blemish and without spot. He is the Lamb that was slain on Calvary's cross. He is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world. But no one can take this away from Him. He's the Lamb that reigneth. And He is the Lamb that will be glorified. And He'll have all the glory in Emmanuel's land. You know, the young people once asked me a question. And there's many questions they ask me. And sometimes I say, oh, I wish you didn't ask me that question. But there's one night we were just sitting around talking. And one young person says, "Tell me this, Stephen. What will be the songs will be in heaven? Will there be any Christian rap music sung in heaven?" And I says, "Oh, I have to be honest and tell you, there will be no Christian rock music sung in heaven." And I turned them to this very chapter in Revelation 5. And I said, this will be the song that will be sung in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And let me say this to you today. If you cannot sing the praises of our God, if you cannot lift up your heart and praise and worship the Lord of glory, one day in heaven, this is going to be the hymn. There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. And worthy is the lamb that was slain. If you're singing for the Lord, may all your ministry and all your songs be about the blood. May it all be about the cross. And may it all be about the lamb. If you're evangelizing for Christ, may it all be about the blood. May it all be about the cross. And may it all be for the glory of the lamb. If you're preaching for Christ, may all your preaching be sent around the cross. May every message finish at Calvary. May every message be backed home by the power of the blood. And every finger pointed to the Lamb of God upon the cross. You know, I say this to my wife Hillary, and she always tells me, "Will you keep quiet and don't say those things?" But if I have ever to be carried out of here and before the Lord's return, this hymn 58 is what I'd love to be sung. Jesus, a name high over all in hell or earth or sky. Angels of men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Jesus, a name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given. It scatters all their guilty fear. It turns their hell to heaven. Verse 3. His only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Happy with my latest breath, that I may grasp his name and preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, how is it with your soul today? How is it with you today? Are you saved? Have you entered in at that safe haven of rest? Have you entered in at the cross of Calvary? Are you here now and you realize and see, as you've heard for many years, I know I'm without Christ. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I'm on my way to hell and I'm lost. And now what I have heard, how God has provided himself as a lamb. How God has given himself as that lamb without blemish and without spot. As that lamb that has been slain on the cross of Calvary. Who can take away my sin. Who has risen from the grave. And will be forevermore glorified in heaven. Are you trusting the Savior? Have you come to Christ? And are you saved for all of God's eternity? If you turn to Revelation chapter 21. Who's in heaven? Who is in heaven? And we haven't time to go down it, but if you take the time, it tells you what heaven is like. And heaven is a wonderful place. And we're told in the city, and the city lieth four square, and the length is as large as its breadth. And he measured the city with the rail 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth, and the height of it are equal. And if you go down that, it'll tell you about all the precious stones. It'll tell you about all the, how the gates are made of pearls. And then we come down into verse 22, and it says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for the sun, neither the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations therein which are saved shall walk in the light of it." I have to be honest to you today, my unsaved friend. If you don't get saved today and you die without Christ, you will never walk in the splendor of heaven's glory. You will never sit at the feet of the Savior and worship the Lamb. I urge you to flee from the wrath of God which is to come, and to flee to Christ, and be saved for all of God's eternity. I don't want you to die without the Savior. Mr. Ayah doesn't want you to die without the Savior. The session and committee of this church do not want you to die without the Savior. We don't want you to go to that place called hell, where there is no light in it. It's darkness, it's weeping, it's gnashing of teeth. And the moment that you drop into God's eternity, you will drop and drop and drop for all of God's eternity. But if you get saved today, you know there's a fountain in heaven. There's a fountain in heaven. And our loved ones who are saved and have gone on to be with the Lamb, one day we're going to meet at the fountain. One day we're going to meet around the Lamb. And what a day that's going to be. When my Jesus I shall see. When he takes me by the hand. And he leads me through the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day. Do you want to know something else? We're all going to be there. And the Lamb's going to be there too. Christ. And we're all going to worship the Lamb together and never be separated again. In closing, there was a young man, a grandfather, and he had a grandson. And the grandson and their father come into a little wooded area. And he says that this little creature, it took its wings and it flew, and the grandfather just caught it like that. And he turns to the grandson and he says, tell me this, grandson, he says, is it alive or is it dead? And the little grandson thought to himself and he says, well, Granda, the way you caught that little thing there, he says, them big hands of yours might have squished it and killed it. Then he says, Granda, I know you to be a caring grandfather and a loving, tender man. And he says, them big hands of yours could be soft and gentle, and that little thing in your hands could be safe. The little lad thought to himself again. He says, well, Granda, I suppose the answer to that question lies in your hands. And ladies and gentlemen, the answer and the question to your eternity today lays in your hands. In your hands. God has provided the Lamb for you. He has done it all on the cross of Calvary. It's finished. It's up to you to come and to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your own and your personal Savior. This hymn, and I'd ask you to think as we read out the words of this hymn, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Saviour's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained by sin, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Ladies and gentlemen, He's calling you. Will you come to the Lamb today? In Jesus' name. Amen.